Podcast. I am your host, Armando Marsal. With me today is my friend, Russell Clay. How's it going, my man?
Great. We're, you know, it's starting to slow down in Tucson. It's no longer 115 days. It's just like 105. So we're loving life right now.
Oh, man. You're talking to me about weather. It's only in the like low 90s, high 80s here, but it feels like 100. Humidity is through the roof. It's a rainy day today, so you know that's going to bring more heat, more mosquitoes down here in Florida. But you know what? It's another day in paradise, as they say. So we're here. We're talking football, man. Good stuff. Why don't you tell everyone some of the things we got going on here at Fantasy Guru, Elite Fantasy, and Elite Sports Betting.
Yeah, obviously we're gearing up for the season. Live chat is getting wild in there. We get a lot of questions being asked, a lot of people talking about their keeper leagues. So if that's appealing to you, certainly get in there. We're chopping it up. We got some good, you know, not just me, Armando, Tyler, and Jeff, but we got some folks in there. Vipers, man, he's been in there chopping it up with us. G Candler, you know, some of the people been around for a long time, long before I was even at Guru. So fun to talk to those folks as well. We've been putting out a ton of content, about 3 articles per day at Fantasy Guru. And, you know, I'm loving the variety that we have. I feel like me, Armando, and Tyler are a really good combination because we have different strengths. And I appreciate that because it allows me to sort of do my college football, my dynasty, you know, and I talk, you know, redraft and season long as well. But yeah, I think things have been going really well this year. And obviously we have, you know, a whole sports betting DFS side that I think some of us are going to be contributing to. I know I'm going to be doing college football DFS. So really excited for year 2 with Elite Fantasy with that. And yeah, I know Tyler's doing DFS as well. You're doing DFS, right?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be publishing my first article at Elite Fantasy once we get off this podcast. I did a little DFS bankroll management article there, so that's fun, man. I'm looking forward to that. I'll be doing some DFS articles and season long as well. And like you mentioned, man, we complement each other very well. I've come up, you know, I've asked you questions already. I know you're heavy into college, and I've asked you some questions with dynasty stuff, and it's great because not only are you know, we're able to focus on our strengths, but we're also learning, you know, with each other, man. And that, to me, that's a plus.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But Hall of Fame game, man. Hall of Fame game today. Finally get to watch some football. Obviously the starters are not going to play here, but just excited to watch some football on TV, man. You're going to be watching this game?
I mean, I'm going to be tuning in, but I'll probably have other tabs open while it's on. That's kind of the general vibe for the preseason. You know, I have Game Pass. I just got charged for that the other day. So, you know, I tend to go back and watch what I want to watch after, watch the specific plays I want to. But, you know, I just like having the games on and having the vibe back. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, man, me too. And that's kind of where I stand. You know, I'm not going to sit there and watch all 4 quarters and stuff of these preseason games or anything, but just being able to know, like, that is on TV, man, is just awesome to me. And training camp, you know, there's a ton of things here in training camp. Now some of these players, we're going to see stock rise and stock fall here in the preseason. You're going to see players have pretty big games in the – you know, in some of these games, and maybe they don't have a solidified role. Maybe they're playing for a role, and we're going to see a lot of stock going up and down here. And from here to the time you draft, it's something that you really, really have to be paying attention to. I know we're doing basically a stock and ADP watch over at fantasyguru.com every week. We're doing training camp notes pretty much every day. You did an article the other day that I found very interesting was trendings. Some of the things that you see are trending. Give us your thoughts. We have some training camp news actually today. It's not training camp news. We've got some news today. We got Theo Riddick going to Denver. I think that is interesting. I think that's the end of Booker in Denver. I mean, with Riddick coming here, I think that's who's pretty much gone. Your thoughts on that?
I'm a big Royce Freeman guy, so anytime a running back gets involved in my love circle here, I guess it's a triangle now, but you know, Philip Lindsay came in year one, really crashed the party. Now we're getting Theo Riddick. You know he's going to play snaps, so it's just kind of annoying. I still think Royce Freeman is an interesting option in later rounds, considering he's really the only bigger back on the roster. Riddick is not a between-the-tackles guy. And Lindsay, he's still 190 pounds, so he can run between the tackles, but I don't know how much you want to do that to him. Like, he's so good in space. Like, why not just use him as a receiving back and kill people that way? So we'll see. Interesting situation. But I thought you were going to talk about Hunter Renfrow for a second. I was like, oh, wow. Big news, big stars. Hunter Renfrow with the Raiders playing well, was a guy that was sort of the unheralded slot at Clemson, which was basically an NFL offense this past season. He's been playing with truly high caliber NFL wide receivers for his entire career, Mike Williams, and he last year was playing with two future first round picks. So interesting guy for sure. Maybe not a redraft guy, but if we're at the end of the year and he's getting like 5-6 targets a game for Oakland, it wouldn't be shocking for me.
Yeah, that was a curveball you threw there. You know, honestly, Russell, at first I'm like, wait, are we talking football? Are we talking baseball? Because there is a player in baseball called Hunter Renfrow, pretty good baseball player there. But yeah, man, I agree. I did not think that was going to be significant there, but it does look like, you know, he's doing really well here in training camp. He's pretty much now in the slot receiver. That's where they're going to be utilizing him. So I think you could definitely have a role here. Well, I mean, do you think he's going to have an impact throughout the season, like towards the end of the season, the beginning of the season? What are your thoughts on that? Like, when would his role pretty much see an increase here?
He's a guy. He's a slot guy. He'll play snaps. He's kind of like Adam Humphries. That's kind of what I see. It was more of a joke than anything else.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, hey, man. All right. So I first thought that was a baseball player, man. That one got me.
He is a baseball player, and he actually was a college baseball player.
Is that so?
Yeah, and so he did both. And he was like, you know what, man? Screw it. I'm playing football. And he went in like the fifth round this year, so of the NFL draft. So. Yeah.
Going back to Freeman, man, I'm with you. I actually think he's the running back to own in Denver this year. I really, really do. I think his price is very affordable when you look at his ADP. In my opinion, Lindsay is going too early for my likings. I know he had a great season last year, but I just don't think he's going to be the in-between tackle guy. When you look at the investment Denver made in Freeman, the talent, I think Freeman is far more talented than Lindsay. I think he's going to be, the early down guy, the guy that receives the majority of the workload here. And then you're going to see Lindsay and Theo Riddick just be involved in the passing game. Obviously not fantasy, but it does have a fantasy impact here. The Jets made a big, big move today. They signed center Ryan Khalil. Look, I think this is very, very big for Le'Veon Bell. This is a really bad offensive line. And this truly does help, him here running in between the tackles. So what are your thoughts on that signing, man? I know he's not someone with fantasy value, but I do think he brings plenty of fantasy value here for the Jets.
Yeah, maybe when we think about it, does this mean a half second more time for Darnold per play? Kind of think of it like that. Maybe even 0.3. That's big in the NFL. Maybe a few more creases for Le'Veon Bell. We'll see how he is. You know, he was retired, so that's obviously one thing. We got to see him in pads and how he's doing. But if it's the if it's the Khalil of old, then hey, then that's a big, big upgrade for them. And could be a really nice thing for Bell. I'm not warming up to Bell, but I do see the appeal of that volume in that offense. I'd imagine he's going to get a lot of touches with those receivers they have this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, lots of injuries have occurred. We see AJ Green. I think that's a huge, huge, you know, piece of news there with him out now. They're saying it's probably going to last into the season. Obviously, there's no timetable as to when he is going to play, but they do expect him to miss some games early in the season. How do you think that this is affecting, you know, the Bengals offense? How big of an impact is his loss here?
I think this is more of a real football thing. In terms of effectiveness, they're just not going to be as effective. Now, the question is, if they're not as effective, will they be losing more games and be in comeback mode more? I mean, we saw this last year. The volume kind of went up because they started getting beat up, you know, week to week when they started losing players. So there might be more volume that could average out in a PPR format. But yeah, this is not good, obviously, for the Bengals. And we've seen Andy Dalton splits without Green in his career. And I think it's going to be similar. You want John Ross to be that deep threat, but he's just always hurt. I mean, he's just always hurt, dude. It's like, as soon as Green went out, I'm like, okay, John Ross's opportunity to maybe emerge here. Boom. Next day, hamstring injury. It's like, okay, man, like, can you please do something? Like, I know you're talented. I know you're an elite athlete. Just, it's so frustrating when guys can't stay healthy. And I'd imagine it's super frustrating for him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that to me is just makes a ton of sense, because when, doesn't matter how good you are. I said this on the podcast the other day. It doesn't matter how good of an athlete you are, how good of a player you are. If you're not on the field, you just aren't producing. And that, you know, kind of, it sucks. It sucks to put it in those terms, but that's just, you know, the way it is with that. I was on a podcast with Corey the other day, and that went live today on fantasyguru.com. And we talked about some camp battles to watch and stuff. Look, one to me is very interesting, man. And it's two young running backs here in Miami. Kenyon Drake and Ballage. That to me is a very interesting situation, man, because, you know, obviously everyone thought, all right, this is Drake's job, et cetera. But Kalen Ballage is making a name for himself now in camp, and it's something that I think is interesting. What do you think of Ballage? I'm sure you know a little bit more about him than most people because obviously of your college background. So what do you think of Ballage? Is he someone that can come in here and steal this job?
He was not a good college football player. Yeah. I'll just throw that out there. Like, he just wasn't. He was an average college running back, and that was the weird thing for me. His sophomore year, he had a 7 or an 8 touchdown game against Texas Tech, and that made his one that year look really good because he had that one game. But he was just like, he wasn't good. But with that said, I mean, he's a freak athlete. He's like 230 pounds. And, you know, he made some really nice plays to end last year. And I wasn't high on him coming into the NFL, but certainly an interesting skill set. And if he's running with the ones and, you know, maybe he's getting those dump offs, even against NFL defenders, man, when he's in the open field, he is a monster. It's kind of like Derrick Henry early in his career, whenever he'd get those little slip screens, and then, you know, he gets past that linebacker and you're like, uh-oh. Nobody's tackling that. It's pretty similar with Ballage. He's a very explosive athlete. You know, when thinking about Drake, I kind of go back to how they treated Lamar Miller when he was in Miami. And everyone was always complaining he wasn't getting enough touches. And then we saw him in Houston getting all those touches. And it's like, oh.
That's why. Yeah,
it's not as pretty when he's getting like, you know, 250, 270 touches a year. And I kind of think that's Drake. Like, I think he's best served as that, you know, explosive weapon who's getting 175 to like 210, maybe 220 touches. I think that's how he's best served. So I don't really care who's running with the ones. I think Drake is going to be fine. I think it's just going to be similar to last year where some weeks it's like, oh, he got 8 touches this week. Oh, damn.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. I still like Kenyon Drake at his value. I really do. But now I feel like I have to draft Ballage just in case, you know, and we're seeing his stock, you know, kind of on the rise here because of all the recent news and stuff like that. You know, another situation that to me is becoming interesting is this Chargers backfield. Melvin Gordon, now the most recent report is he's requested a trade. He has requested a trade. I think this is a very messy situation, but the question now is, you know, who's the guy that you know, to you stands out? I really think, I'll be honest with you, I really think Austin Ekeler is it a good, you know, running back? Like, not elite by any means, but I think he's good. He's capable of catching passes out of the back. But I just don't think he's an in-between-the-tackle runner. I think he's more of a, you know, guy that you're going to use in the pass and things like that. What are your thoughts of this backfield? Because both of these running backs in Los Angeles are seeing a huge increase in ADP here.
My opinion is we kind of saw what it looks like when Ekeler is a featured guy last year. And it, one of the things with all these RB macro stats and using all these league-wide things is it is totally different when you're a part-time player and when you're the featured guy that opposing defenses are game planning for and know all your weaknesses and strengths and what types of plays you're successful on. So I think we saw that when Ekeler kind of got handed a bigger role with Melvin's injury, that he just wasn't good at running the ball. Very explosive talent. And I think for fantasy, he can be a good asset. But just from a real football perspective, he's just not. He's an average to slightly below average NFL running back. And that's fine. I mean, hell, he's an undrafted free agent who's getting that money. And I root for all those guys. But, I mean, if we're comparing him to Melvin Gordon, it's just not even the same realm.
No, not at all. And, I mean, they're not comparable at all.
And you know, with that situation, it's just a bummer. I'm a big Melvin Gordon guy. I have been. I was a big Big Ten football Wisconsin fan back in the day when he was like a freshman, and he was not as big as he was now. But I've been happy. He every year, other than his rookie year, it's been like all good. And this is the first time where we're feeling some resistance as Melvin fans, where it's like, I'm not mad at him. I don't mind him trying to get his money, but it's getting ugly. And he's finding out the Chargers are like, all right, man, we're gonna keep going here. You're being left behind.
Yeah, and it really is a money situation, man, because I agree. I don't think Ekeler is an every down back. I think he's someone that is good catching passes out of the backfield. I just think he's going to see a bigger role if, you know, the issue here with Gordon doesn't get resolved. And then quite frankly, there are some, you know, I've heard some people talk about Justin Jackson. I don't really see it, man. I saw him play last year and I didn't think that highly of him in his limited opportunity. Northwestern guy, if I'm not mistaken, and selected 251st overall. So I don't really think, you know, he's someone that is super talented here. So it's just a situation that I'll take Ekeler if his price is not too expensive, but not sure I want to invest too much in this backfield if Gordon is not around, man.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think the fantasy option is Ekeler, and I think he'll be an every week starter. You know, I think he was when Melvin got hurt. It's just when you watch the games, you're like, oh boy, this is not good for the Chargers.
And he's also fragile. He's also very fragile as well. Like, he gets injured pretty easily. So
small dude.
He is. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's something you have to, you know, obviously consider. Then another situation very similar is Dallas. Although I think this one, I know it looks ugly. It does look ugly. And Zeke Elliott, the number one overall pick, in my opinion. I know some people take Barkley over him. I like Zeke. I just like that situation so much better. Offensive line is phenomenal there. Just a better supporting cast. But that's a different topic there. But that situation, they just signed Alfred Morris. I know that, you know, obviously he's nowhere near what Ezekiel Elliott is. I've seen what Tony Pollard see a huge boost in ADP now. Like, so he's someone that a lot of people are eyeing with his Elliott news. Talk to me about this situation, Russell, because honestly, someone asked me in chat the other day, who's the guy? And I think it's Alfred Morris if this doesn't get resolved. Personally, I think this is going to get resolved. I think Jerry Jones is a smart guy. I think he won't. Truth be told, yeah, you might not need an elite running back to win a Super Bowl, but the Dallas Cowboys cannot win a Super Bowl right now the way they're built without Ezekiel Elliott. I just don't see it happening. He is their offense. You know, that's my opinion, of course, but I don't see them winning a Super Bowl without Elliott. So for my interest, because I bet Dallas to win the Super Bowl this year, for my interest, I need him to be signed. I really do need it to be signed here. But what are your thoughts on this situation, man? Because it's one that's I hate seeing this.
I don't know what your feeling was when you saw Alfred Morris sign there. I kind of just went, he'll have a few fantasy relevant weeks. Okay. he'll have a 2-touchdown game with 2 1-yard runs and like 50 yards. You're like, okay. Yeah. All right. You know, he kind of looked done in San Francisco last year, but he also did not fit what they were doing. So, I think with this offensive line, a lot of running backs can succeed, not to the level of Zeke, not even close. I think, you know, it's not even close. But, you know, just from Alfred Morris's perspective, can he average 3.8 yards per carry behind this line or 3.9 on 15 touches, 20 touches? Yeah, he can. And Tony Pollard, sort of an unknown right now. We don't really know what he is as a player. Fourth round pick, but at Memphis, they didn't use him. They kind of used him as a receiver because they had Darrell Henderson and their offense was really like air it out, pass, pass, pass. And then they had another hammer running back who was like 230 pounds. So Pollard was just kind of pushed outside basically. So we don't really know what he is as a runner, but he is a big boy and could certainly be fantasy relevant this year. It's kind of like a bigger version of Austin Eckler, where I do think he can be a good third down back right off the bat. And I don't know if he can run between the tackles, but maybe he can, especially with an elite offensive line. So if Zeke isn't there, there's a lot of yards to go around there from a fantasy perspective. So if if Zeke's gone and I'm stacking Pollard and Alfred Morris, I'm actually pretty confident I'm going to get some fantasy points out of that.
I agree. I think I'm hoping Elliott gets his contract, or at least they come to a resolution here. And
for the record, I agree with you. I think Zeke will be there week one.
Yeah. Melvin Gordon, I'm not sure, I'll be honest with you, but Zeke Elliott, I do think, is going to be resolved. Zeke Elliott before the start of the season here. We saw Michael Thomas become a very wealthy man. that's good, man. I didn't want that leaking into the season either. I like Michael Thomas a ton. I've liked him since he started the league, man. And I think he's a very underrated receiver, man. I think he's very talented and obviously – playing in a great offense there. Speaking of receivers, Russell, a situation that I think is interesting is the one in Green Bay, man. MVS or Geronimo Addison? Talk to me. Yeah, right? We're watching each other. The people are not going to be able to see us, but we both have the shrug going on.
I threw my hands in the air. That's the I just checked my mail and I got an unexpected bill. Like, I don't know. I don't know
what the hell am I gonna do there?
Yeah, man. Like
I think we might see likes just. I think that position is gonna be inconsistent there. To be honest with you, I like them both. They're both pretty close. I think they're just gonna interchange each week. One's gonna have a good week, maybe a couple weeks. I don't think that we're going to see, unless there's an injury from either one of them, a consistent full fantasy season. I find it hard to believe. I think they're both talented enough that they're both going to have, you know, their weekends where it's going to be the game plan is going to revolve around them for whatever reason. I think that's how it might play out. Could be wrong though, but I really do think that's how it's going to play out because they both flash some nice upside, you know, when given the opportunity. I know Addison's season was cut by injury. And MBS also battled some injuries. But when given the opportunity, when they're on the field, they both look pretty good to me. Aaron Jones is now banged up there as well. He wasn't practicing. I don't think it's anything serious. I think he's dealing with, hamstring injury. And I'll look that up now. But, yeah, he didn't practice today. Hamstring injury. These injuries, man, I tend to watch these throughout the preseason because these soft tissue.
Especially him, because he put on a lot of weight compared to his college days, and he's been injured quite a bit in his first 2 years. So I get it. This is one of those where I get what you guys are seeing. I get why you're drafting him. I get why you're optimistic. Packers running back with Aaron Rodgers is a great spot if you can find it. But, man, that's a risk at his ADP. You're drafting a lot. You're drafting him over a lot of good players. And, I feel the same way about Marlon Mack. I feel the same way about, you know, that sort of tier. I like them. I get it. I'd rather play them in DFS rather than a season-long league because if they get a good matchup, they'll probably get 25, 30 points. But I just don't know how safe their jobs are. That's my only thing.
Yeah, and I'm big on Marlon Mack, man, this year. I really am. I know there is risk involved. There's plenty of risk involved because he wasn't a high prospect coming out of college or anything like that. And you know, there is the injury concerns as well. And like you mentioned, job security. But, man, I look at that offensive line, and I look at what they're capable of doing, and you know their opportunities last year in the red zone. I think they averaged over 4 per game red zone, you know, scoring opportunities per game, which was among the league highs. So I like his situation a ton. Obviously, Aaron Jones in a similar situation.
I think this brings up a good point about fantasy in general. It's like just because I'm not in on those guys, like. I think it's important to see people's logic. You know, like I get what you guys are saying if you're a Marlon Mack fan, and I agree with those points. Like that offensive line, who's that guy they drafted last year? The big white guy in the guard.
Hold up, tube right now. Have here in this
Nelson. One. Nelson. Yeah, that guy's an animal. Hold on.
I'm pulling it up right here as well.
Nelson. Quentin Nelson.
Yes, Quentin. Quentin Nelson.
That guy is gonna blow people away. So I get it. But that's a side tangent. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But I agree. They're just a ridiculous unit, man. All of them. So I just think it's a great situation. Another situation. Look, Dante Moncrief, James Washington. I know the upside there's with Washington there, but let me tell you, I think Moncrief is not bad. When he was playing with Andrew Luck, he was pretty efficient. I think he scored in 10 or 14 or 15 games when they played together. And he's still young. He is still young. I know it sounds like he's been in the league. Like it sounds like he was in the league with Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. Like, it sounds like he's been in that league that long, but he's still very young, man. Like, I think he has a good opportunity to win that number two spot here with Pittsburgh. Any thoughts on that?
I'm a big James Washington guy, but I think we do have to be as James Washington guys, you know, there's some of us out there. We have to be realistic. Dante Moncrief was a good prospect coming out, and he did have some moments in Indy, and I don't think it's fair to judge him on Jacksonville last year because that was just a joke. So it's definitely realistic at this point. I mean, Moncrief's a great athlete. They've brought these guys in over the last couple years, in lower end versions like Justin Hunter and Darius Hayward Bay, but it seems like they've actually found something here with Moncrief as a high end athlete, high draft pick, who might actually be a player for them. And I think Vance McDonald's going to be a problem as well. I haven't been drafting him much, but you know, when you come around later in the year, you're like, okay, I get the Vance McDonald stuff. I think he's going to take up, you know, some fantasy points there. So yeah, I think Moncrief's real. I think we can be drafting him for sure.
Yeah, I think so too, man. I really do. I think that's pretty interesting there. Someone that had much more buzz earlier, you know, right after the draft, and kind of, you know, some negative reports on him, but I still think someone to watch and someone not to disregard here. It's the Patriots receiver N'Keal Harry, man. Talk to me about him. I know you know a ton about him. What do you think? You think he's going to – right now I know the reports are negative, but I think he'll be fine.
Oh, I love that man. Yeah, I love that man. I mean, I don't have reads on guys like this very often where I'm just, you know, it's been like Juju, Tyler Boyd, and Corey Coleman over the last like 5 years where I've been pretty confident. And obviously Corey Coleman didn't hit, but I mean, Harry's a first-round pick, 90th percentile speed score. He's a special athlete, and which should totally negate those separation concerns that a lot of people had. Special college producer. He's just got everything. He's got crazy ball skills. He's huge, just like a hulking mass. And, you know, people develop at different rates. I think that's really important to know. And, you know, Davante Adams couldn't catch a football for the first 2 years of his career. So, you know, maybe this is a rough year one for Harry. But maybe it's not. You know, he was good as a true freshman at Arizona State. So I actually think he can translate well quickly to early situations. I expect him to be in the 700, 800 yard range this year, kind of like Calvin Ridley last year without maybe that touchdown upside. But yeah, all this talk right now of him being with the second team is malarkey. They have nobody. They have nobody. They have Edelman, and they are going to need him. It's kind of like, remember when, I mean, Aaron Dobson didn't hit, but that year where they had like Kent, Kembrell Tompkins, and like all those random ass dudes on the Patriots.
Yeah.
We're back there. Like that's where we're at. And, you know, they're going to need Harry to get targets. And I think, you know, the more he gets in, and maybe there'll be a few drops early in the year, but the more he gets involved, the more he's going to be, you know, that featured guy that he was all his college career. So yeah, I'm all in. And season long dynasty, even things that don't involve him, I'm still talking about him. So yeah, all
in. There you go. And yeah, and you know, and something to know about the Patriots is they usually put players in positions to succeed. They find the strengths of players. This coaching staff has done a phenomenal job with that. For a very long time, though, they've been a very successful organization for that reason. They just put fine players. You don't have to be awesome at everything, but if you're really good at something, they're going to use you in that one thing you're really good at, and they're just going to exploit defenses until they figure it out. And it typically does not happen. So I agree. I'm not reading too much into this, you know, into this news of him struggling and stuff like that. I know this is a difficult from what I've read and from the, you know, the information I've gathered. I know this is a difficult, obviously, playbook and you know, scheme to learn, but I think he'll be fine. I really do think he'll be fine. I agree with you. I wouldn't be listening too much to this noise. Talk to me about one guy you wrote about the other day, Paris Campbell. We were talking about the Colts. I forgot to mention him. I see the smile. You see, if people that are listening right now would be able to see what I'm seeing, Russell has a big smile on his face right now. He heard the name and he smiles. So talk to me about him.
Oh, man, it's been a fun journey with Paris Campbell this offseason, because it started out the initial offseason, like when it was just college people evaluating the draft. He was a running back. He wasn't a receiver prospect. you know, he was blah, blah, blah. Like, he wasn't that good at anything. And then he runs a 4.3 at the combine, and people are like, I don't know, man. And then he goes to the Colts in the second round. People are like, oh, damn, Paris Campbell, he's pretty good. And now he's, like, running routes well in camp, and it's like, oh, could be a year one guy. And they're like, yeah, he could be a year one guy, couldn't he? No, but seriously, the Colts have a lot of skill position players, and I think it's going to be a committee approach. It seems like with a lot of these more innovative offenses, they tend to go with more committee-based approaches. So I don't know about his year one, but I do know T.Y. Hilton's 30, going on 31. So over the next couple of years, I think Paris Campbell has the potential to become a prominent player with Andrew Luck, which is obviously amazing. So year one, I see him sort of a maybe 500, 600 yards from scrimmage. I think they're going to use him in the running game. I think they're going to do a lot of stuff with him, kind of quirky stuff. You know how the Rams like ran Robert Woods on those end arounds and stuff? I think that's what we're going to see with Campbell this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good usage. I mean, I think that's good usage. Someone you'd target for sure in the keeper league, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, obviously in dynasty leagues as well. What are you watching? Like, what is something that you're keeping a close eye on, if anything? Now in this preseason, any one particular player, you know, some situations that you are monitoring because you think it can really change the, you know, the fantasy land for fantasy owners before the start of the season?
Yeah, so actually you mentioned it. I'm very interested in the Colts, Devin Funchess, Ebron, Hilton, Campbell, how that all splits up. There's a lot of production to go around in that offense. Also, Andrew Luck's calf, can that not happen, please? And thank you. So definitely watching that closely. And so I'm going to go with a gross one. I'm watching the Redskins very closely because I think there's going to be some waiver wire value in that offense with those receivers. I actually do think the combination of McLaurin, Doxson and Paul Richardson has some talent, fantasy talent. We still have some questions about that, but from, you know, I think Doxson has a chance, man. This is his first healthy year of his NFL career. And obviously probably wasn't worth the, he definitely wasn't worth the first round NFL draft pick, but he's still a jump ball guy, super athletic. And if Dwayne Haskins gets in there, even Case Keenum, you know, totally different players, totally different quarterbacks than Alex Smith. And I think, you know, if they're going to take those chances, throw him those deep balls, he can do it, you know. And if he ends the year 800, 900 yards, you know, a lot of people are projecting him for 100 targets right now and not talking about him. He's like a 17th round pick. So, you know, if he can bump that up to 120 targets, 130 targets, we're looking at a fantasy guy. So I like him. I like that draft pedigree. That's kind of one of my strategies. I think he's a guy I'll keep up for since Kevin White's officially, you know, six wide receiver in the Cardinals. So we're transitioning.
So who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Redskins day one or week one?
I think Keenum is good enough to kind of hold it off, which is kind of a bummer. I wish they hadn't brought Keenum in because I love Haskins. I think long-term he's going to be a really special guy. But yeah, year one, I think Keenum's good enough. You know, he's just good. Like he's not a good starter, but he is a kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick where they are competent. Like they can move an NFL offense. So I think he's going to win the job. Yeah.
And I agree with you on Haskins. I actually think he, out of this draft class, I think he's probably going to have the best career. I think he has probably the highest ceiling, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of Kyler Murray, you know, truthers out there, and, you know, he's talented. And I think Haskins has the higher ceiling, you know, for an NFL career, at least. Guys, make sure, fantasyguru.com. We got chat room all the time. We're in there all the time. Russell's answering questions there. I'm answering Tyler Beaker, Jeff Manns. Tons of content, man. How many articles are we posting every day? Like at least four now? I've seen.
Yeah, with the training camp, at least four now.
And, yeah, daily, man. You know,
We just got a brand new site. It's looking beautiful. We're still transitioning some of our tools, but I mean, we're getting set up right for the season. I'm really excited.
Yeah, man. And Elite Fantasy as well, Elite Sports Betting, all that stuff. Got to go check it out. And we're doing, you know, you've been part of it. We're actually going to record another podcast, you and I, soon. We're doing the 50 podcasts in 50 days. Today we published 18. And we're going to keep it going. It's through September. I have a final word, but I'm going to ask you first, because I'm going to ask, my final words is going to be a question. And it's an interesting, because it is the Hall of Fame game. I think you know where I'm coming from now today. Or actually, no, you know what? It's not happening. He's not playing. I'm sorry. I thought he was playing today, but he's not. So before we go, I'm going to ask you someone that has been very impressive in camp, in a situation where there's really not a ton of options at the receiver position, and that's in Baltimore. I know they're not a pass-first offense. I know they're not a pass-first offense. And that's Miles Boykin. You wrote him up. I think he's actually very interesting, to be honest with you, because the talent here, you know, it's really not that good at the receiver position for Baltimore, in my opinion. Give me your thoughts on him, man.
Yeah, freak athlete, tested out as basically 100th percentile athlete at the combine. Everyone was talking about DK Metcalf, but Miles Boykin was really the guy. And, you know, when we talk about players who kind of break out as third round draft picks, we're looking at, you know, like Kenny Golladay. Kenny Golladay went to the combine, was a freak show, and, you know, got picked high by a team. Miles Boykin had a really weird college career, because he came to Notre Dame as kind of a highly touted guy and totally fizzled through his first, you know, 3 years of just like, he just didn't do anything. He was like down the depth chart. Equanimeous St. Brown shoved him in a locker. And, you know, they had a quarterback named Brandon Wimbush at Notre Dame, and he could not pass the football. He could not. So 3.5 years of – it wasn't 3.5 years of Wimbush, but it was basically 3.5 years of just no good quarterback play. Boykin, they installed Ian Book late in the middle of last year. Notre Dame went on a big run. Ian Book was a competent passer, and Boykin really broke out. Really broke out with a real passer. And, I mean, he could be going to a similar situation with the Ravens where he just doesn't have a competent passer. But if Lamar Jackson can be, you know, reasonable, Boykin could be a year one guy. I'm with you. Yeah, he's got everything you look for. Matt Waldman was super high on him. And I was high on him at the end of last year. He looked great. So he's got everything. He's huge too. 6'4", 220, freak. Yeah, I'm in.
And there's just not a ton. I mean, I'm not saying they're complete nobodies, but there's just not a ton of talent here in this with this receiving core. So I think he has an opportunity to make a name for himself. And so far, it looks like he's doing just that. All right, is Royce Freeman going to score tonight in tonight's Hall of Fame game? Is he going to score?
I'm going to put 20% of my net worth on yes. No. We'll see, but hopefully. I'd love to see it.
Any final thoughts here, Russell?
No, but I've had a lot of fun this year with the new, you know, new group of guys. I think we're a really solid group, pretty humble, and looking for the right answers, not just the hot takes. So if you like that type of analysis, definitely come join us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. I agree, man. And it was finally great to do my first podcast with you. Glad we're going to be doing several more in the near future. Looking forward to that. Guys, make sure fantasyguru.com, Elite Fantasies, and Elite Sports Betting, guys. Do not forget to check those out. For Russell, I am Ramon Marcel. See you next time.